Welcome to the Making Footprints, Not Blueprints podcast. My name is Andrew James Brown and I'm the minister of the Unitarian Church in Cambridge, UK. Knowing that full scope always eludes our grasp, that there is no finality of vision, that we have perceived nothing completely and that, therefore, tomorrow a new walk is a new walk, I hope that, on occasions, you'll find here a helpful liberal, religious and philosophical reflection that encourages you to journey through life, making footprints rather than blueprints. Welcome. What a kite can tell us about the making of modern, creative, free spirituality or religion. Jiyu Shukyo. A short thought for the day offered to the Cambridge Unitarian Church as part of the Sunday service of mindful meditation. And before I begin, just some apologies. As you can probably hear from my voice, I've not been very well. I had a bad cold, very bad cold this week. And so I'm nowhere near my proper microphones and various recording kit. So I'm recording this on my iPhone at home, and if I get a chance to do it, I'll re-record it properly later on. But hopefully this will be sufficient unto the day. During August, whilst working on translations of essays by the 20th century Japanese Unitarian, an advocate of a creative, free spirituality or religion, Imaoka Shinichiro Sensei, I came across a short speech called Know Thyself, given in 1978 to the first-year students of the Seisuko High School, where he was principal. At one point in it, he asks his students a rhetorical question. Have you ever experienced flying a kite? And he goes on to point out that there's an opposition between the direction of the wind and the force pulling the kite string. But it's precisely because of these oppositional forces that the kite flies perfectly. Human relationships are the same. Well, yes, indeed. And this immediately brought back to mind a short story by Somerset Maugham called The Kite, of which I'm very fond, and which in 1948, along with three other stories, was adapted for the screen in a successful British black and white film called Quartet. In this story, young Herbert Sunbury, played by George Cole, has always loved flying kites, a passion shared with his parents. When Herbert decides to marry Betty, tension arises due to his mother's disapproval and Betty's embarrassment over Herbert's kite flying, which she sees as childish. To maintain marital harmony, Herbert agrees to abandon his passion. However, after a while, he's tempted by an unfinished kite design of his, and he begins secretly to work on it again with his mother and father. Betty discovers his deception, leading to an argument and Herbert moving back into his parents' house. In a fit of rage, Betty destroys his new kite, prompting Herbert to cut off all financial support, and, in consequence, he's imprisoned. A prison visitor learns of Herbert's predicament, organises his release, and also visits Betty to suggest one way she can save the marriage. The story concludes, as perhaps you can imagine, with a reconciled Herbert and Betty flying a kite together on the local common. Although Maugham's story can initially look extremely lightweight and inconsequential, to my mind it's a rather beautiful and simple illustration of something very fundamental about how the world works, both physically and psycho-spiritually. Something Imaoka Sensei also clearly saw and sought to pass on to his young students. It reveals to us in a very easy to understand way that oppositional forces must be in appropriate balance, so that not only can kites take off and fly, but so too can any human relationship or set of relationships. Anyway, once Maugham's story was back in my imagination, I began to wonder about how the same metaphor might be extended to an entire religious tradition. So imagine my surprise and delight when only a couple of weeks ago I came across the following point made by the important Japanese philosopher Nishitani Keiji in a talk given in 1971 to a Shin Buddhist association in Kyoto. In it, he begins to address the question of how to revive the fast-fading fortunes of Buddhism in modern, highly industrialized and secularized Japan. He said, quote, "Like a kite caught in a tree, we must try to fly it once again from the beginning. It is quite important for us to ponder how to raise it higher and higher once we have been able to make it fly again. On the one hand, when a strong wind blows, the power of tradition must be put to work. But on the other, we cannot fly a kite if its tail is too heavy. It is of the utmost importance to strike a balance between these two inclinations, towards modernization and change, and toward tradition." Unquote. Now, it powerfully strikes me that what is true of Buddhism in Japan is also true of our own liberal free religious tradition here in the UK, that which comes from the Unitarian movement. Today, it too is like a kite firmly caught in a tree. And so I think we can learn something very important from Nishitani's words, and also from some of the reflections made upon them by modern scholars such as Robert E. Carter. In the following quotation, Carter is, like Nishitani, talking specifically about Buddhism. But, as you listen, don't his words address exactly the same issues we have been struggling with in the last few decades? Quote, "Buddhism is like a kite caught in a tree, away from the winds of change, isolated from secularization and modernization, technology and science. Religion generally has been sealed away from change, leaving a huge gap between secular society and religion. The inside of religion has had little to do with the outside, the secular world. And the secular world has been increasingly uninterested in religion. The central theme of these lectures is finding a way to bridge the gap and to make religion, and Buddhism in particular, relevant to the modern world." Unquote. And this week, looking back over the past 3 to 4 years, it began to strike me that the kite metaphor allows me to map and better understand our recent history together, and I hope it does the same for you. As the pandemic began, we, along with every other Unitarian church, became acutely aware that our tradition's kite was caught firmly in a tree and was now in danger of being torn completely apart. Fortunately, however, during that difficult time, here in Cambridge, we worked hard to try to untangle it. And, in my opinion, we got it back safely on the ground and began to take a good, long look at the damage and assess what could be done to begin fixing the thing. Then, with our kite on the ground, we began to find ways to retension its spine and spar and remake its sail. It strikes me that this was what we were mostly doing in the round of the 3 Life of the Church conversations we had, which helped us prepare to resume face-to-face meetings at the end of lockdown. And thirdly, having untangled and repaired the main body of our kite, it seems to me that all the recent work we've been doing, particularly in connection with Imaoka Sensei's creative religion or free spirituality, what he called Jiyu Shukyo, all this has been the equivalent of remaking the tail of our newly restored kite. For Nishitani's metaphor to work for us, it's vitally important to be absolutely clear that although it is deeply connected to the Unitarian tradition, what Imaoka Sensei's thought and practice offers us is a tail that doesn't hold us down by being too heavy, but one which frees and steadies our kite, giving it a strong, stable sense of direction in the extremely strong winds that are blowing everywhere around us at the moment. Not only in the literal winds related to climate change, but also in the strong and extremely illiberal cultural winds of ethnic, religious and political conflict. We really do need such a tail because, as Nishitani realised, any kite without the power of tradition will simply dance about wildly, get tangled in tree branches or be dashed to the ground. But at the same time, a kite will simply not fly if its tail is too heavy. Imaoka Sensei's Jiyushukyo seems to me to be just the kind of tail our kite needs. As I've just mentioned, it's neither too heavy to weigh us down, nor too insignificantly light to be able to steer us effectively and stably into the wind. I remain convinced that if we are willing consciously to attach it to the struts, spars and sail that is all of us as a congregation, it is a tail that will help us to rise up and fly confidently in these storm-lashed times. I cannot but help think that getting such a kite up in the air, perhaps emblazoned with our motto, "We need not think alike to love alike," is one beautiful way to help people see that, despite the storms everywhere, there are gentle, loving, and genuinely free ways to be together in the world. But that larger hope aside, it is clear that kite flying brought Herbert and Betty back together and gave them a new shared sense of purpose for the future. And so I also hope that kite flying of the metaphorical kind I've just outlined might also help to bring us back together with a new, shared, creative, free spiritual sense of purpose for the future. Time will tell, and maybe, just maybe, I'll see you on the local common sometime soon. But let me get over this cold first. Farewell.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of the Making Footprints, Not Blueprints podcast. So, farewell for now, and remember, tomorrow a new walk is a new walk. See you on the path.